Technorama episode 601. It's all downhill from here. Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Thank you for returning. If you're a returning listener slash viewer, we appreciate it very, very much. And joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great. I'm still, I'm dodging and, you know, the COVID. Just whenever I see it, I kind of go this way, go that way.
You need to aim your camera down just a wee bit. Get a little less headroom.
How about this? There.
There you go. Because Donna had the lower third and you were almost doing the Kilroy thing.
Yeah.
Like there you go. Craig sitting in a hole.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Nice job.
How about
there.
This way?
Hattie McHat face.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Should we jump right into the feedback?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's play that wonderful feedback music.
Ladders.
What?
Yeah.
Mailman,
today.
Reach right in and pull one out.
Oh, let me hand one to you. I'll hand it letters. To you. There you go.
Or is it the bass on this song, Donna?
Oh boy. Mailman, mail today.
Did you just hand me a letter?
I tried to,
you
but
use
you
your right
me.
Hand. You gotta use your right hand.
But here you go.
No, your right, your other right hand.
There you go.
Thanks. And then I go and use the wrong hand.
Here you go. Here's your letter, Chuck.
Thanks. We did that. That's what we did on the hackathon finale. We used that gag. We handed the winner, the judge handed me the winners like that. Yes.
Oh.
Crazy podcast funny. Stuff goes to work. That's all I got to say. That's my life right now. It's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, our question last week was, what movie sounds like a bad idea when you explain it, but the plot is actually really good? And we got some good responses in here.
Myron, oh, yeah, there's a few.
Myron says Waterworld. That's debatable, but okay. John Miller Jr. says Megamind. It's my favorite Will Ferrell movie. And he even
You know what? Harrison, when he was younger, of course, we both enjoyed that movie. That was kind of fun.
Joe Fiore says, dude, where's my car? Alexis says, John Wick, a man... kill 100 men and get revenge for one dog.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you put the explanation in there because it does sound like a dumb idea. But I enjoyed the John Wick movies. John yes. Kratzer says Ice Pirates. Steve Cody says Mrs. Doubtfire? Question mark. Yeah, that does sound like a bad idea if you try and explain about a cross-dressing guy just to see his kids. But anyway, we also have on my list, Joe says the same thing. Diane Vanner Wynette. How is Diane related to Steve and Teresa? Steve's mom? Are we starting to get our friends' parents watching the show and responding?
Yeah, we're reaching out to the world.
She was on my karaoke video last night, too.
We're going viral. Watch out, COVID.
they'll immediately spend a whole bunch of money to come up with a Technorama vaccine. Yeah. Diane says Weekend at Bernie's. Jack Mangan says Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah.
I guess trying to explain that to somebody would sound a little weird.
Well, and okay. Napoleon Dynamite. How do you explain that? Then a lot of people will say it's just a dumb movie anyway. Jeremy says Unleashed starring Jet Li. A man discovers his humanity by remembering his mother through the power of music. Okay. Jonathan Strickland says, if you explain Clue as it's a movie based on a board game.
Hey, got a point there.
Yeah, that would probably go with Jumanji as well.
Yeah.
Jonathan also says, The Lighthouse is another. Two guys are stuck in a lighthouse. One of them is definitely a bit loopy already. The other one is definitely loopy by the end.
And yeah.
Kao said, I thought it was mostly B movies that were bad, but the plot was decent. What'd you get on your list?
Let's see. My buddy CJ Lamb says Back to the Future and Red Dawn, the original Red Dawn, not the remake.
You know, for the time, Red Dawn, the original Red Dawn, it was during the whole Soviet era, you know, Cold War stuff. Yeah, so that kind of made sense.
Yeah. It certainly made me think when I was a kid, mm-hmm. you know, kind of even kind of heightened me a little bit.
What a
you know?
Propaganda thing.
Yeah. It's like, man, I'm gonna have to go pee in my radiator. Okay. Anyway. So, Predator, Almost Famous, which, I don't think I ever watched Almost Famous.
I haven't.
A Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. I can see how that.
Susie Greenwald says The Notebook. Okay. Look, you may have had Jack Mang and I had Tiffany over here.
Okay.
The Fifth Element. She says The Fifth Element.
That does sound like a bad idea when you try and explain it.
Yeah. And let's see. Tony Mass says anything by Shang Carruth, Primer and Upstream Color, because it takes longer to explain them than to actually just watch them the three times it takes to figure out what's going on and why they're so awesome in the first place. And last but not least, JT Shea pops in and says, Dodgeball.
Never had the desire to see that. So
oh, well,
might there, be one of those guilty pleasure ones.
There's some funny jokes in there. I wouldn't say it's a great movie by any stretch, but yeah, it's got some moments.
We also got a message from Yorga. He sent us a note. We mentioned a Lego house a couple of weeks ago. I think it was episode 597 he was commenting on, and said, you know, James May from Top Gear built mm-hmm. a Lego house and had it for sale. And then there's an article about a month and a half later says James May's Lego house officially demolished.
Yeah. He sent me the link and I was like, that, I think we did talk about that. I remember looking at it a little bit. But what was funny was I knew, well, looking at the article, they were expecting Legoland to actually, let me think. They were going to move the house somewhere. I'm trying to remember. And I think Lego was involved in that. Anyway, it fell through. Lego, backed out of the deal. So really they had nowhere to go. And the vineyard where they put the house in.
Yeah, it built it in a vineyard.
They were going to tear it down. Yeah, so they were like, hey, we need this real estate back because we need to put the grapes back in here.
We need to put Chateau Picard on there.
Yeah, Chateau Picard. Yeah, because they knew the show was coming. So
back in 2009.
Yeah, so there's a short video on the follow-up article, and you can see them kind of.
Oh, we have some pictures on there, Donna, of the Lego house. It's 00. There we go. Yeah, you know, if I was going to make a Lego brick house, I wouldn't make it this colored striped thing like an old 70s pair of socks. It make it red with some white grout or something. Make it look like a brick house. Just
well, you should go. Yeah, it would be interesting to make it look like a house. But if you go watch, there's a TV show, the episode, you can watch it on YouTube.
Yep.
Where they talk about. They show them building it, and there's a designer and a pattern she was supposed to go.
And there's another picture of it being torn down.
Hey, what's funny is I watched part of that, and there was even a part where they put in a brown line, which was out of the pattern. I forget the color. I mean, it was like yellow, blue, red, but brown. I was like, what? She goes, it looks like poo. She made them take out the several rows over it and remove it and continue.
Oh my gosh. How would you do that once it's been locked in place?
Well, they said it was 2 days worth of, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, it was fun to watch.
When they did the teardown, they didn't save the Lego cat.
No, they did not.
Why not?
Oh, and by the way, they did donate the Legos that came from there. So to I forget what charity, but they donated them.
We love Legos.
Yeah.
Thank you, Yorga. Well, it was a little late. we should have had this around episode 250.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. Let's do the history thing. We don't need to roll because there's no other guests here. So let's play. Almost play.
Why not roll? Why not roll?
Because I win. On this day in history for May 20th, 2020. Ooh, that's a lot of 20s. This is the 141st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 225 days remaining in the year. It was on this date in 1570 that cartographer Abraham Ortelius issued the Theatrum Orbis Terrarum. That's the first modern atlas.
Okay. but nobody can pronounce it.
So Rand McNally jumped right in there and swooped in.
Let's fix this. Also on this date in May 20th, 1609, Shakespeare's sonnets were first published in London, perhaps illicitly, by the publisher Thomas Thorpe.
Illicitly?
Illicitly, yeah.
Thou hast taken thine works illegally.
Yeah, they were BitTorrented back in the day.
What is dost thou BitTorrent?
Who thus put my PDF online?
158 years ago today, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act into law, opening 84 million acres of public land to settlers.
That's a lot. And Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis received the U.S. patent for blue jeans with copper rivets on this date in 1873.
Ooh, there's a good trivia question. Who's Jacob Davis associated with?
Nobody now.
Here's another one for you. A trivia question I got from Friday night. What's a pluviometer? Okay, you go look it up while we're doing the rest of the show. It's actually a rain gauge. There, I spoiled it for you.
I was going to say, hey, Google.
Walk into Home Depot and say, I would like a pluviometer. That same date in 1875, signing of the Meter Convention by 17 nations, leading to the establishment of the International System of Units. And even cooler is there's another event coming up involving those people.
Hmm. And apparently we're going to be left out of it, and we're going to stay on the, what, the Imperial?
Or move what? On.
Yeah. Anyway. On May 20th, 1883,
Krakatoa.
Krakatoa.
I thought you were going to say Krakatoa. Karaoke.
Excuse me. I thought I saw a T in there. Krakatoa began to erupt. The volcano exploded 3 months later, killing more than 36,000 people.
Probably the tsunamis that were involved with that as well. Also today in 1891, the first public display of Thomas Edison's prototype kinetoscope.
Kinetoscope. And May 20th, 1932, Amelia Earhart takes off from the Newfoundland, to begin the world's first solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic Ocean by a female pilot, landing in Ireland the next day.
56 years ago today, discovery of the cosmic microwave background radiation by Robert Woodrow Wilson and Arno Penzias. Yes, that Penzias and Wilson.
I was just wondering about them. And also today in 1983, the first publications of the discovery of the HIV virus that causes AIDS in the journal Science by Luc Montagnier.
That same date in 2019, the International System of Units redefined the base units. Remember those people I said were coming up? Well, they're back, mm-hmm. And they redefined the base units, and they made the international prototype of the kilogram obsolete. It's now called the Craigogram.
Yeah. Yes. I concur. I'll endorse that.
It's 50% lighter, fewer calories.
Right. Fewer calories.
Happy right. Birthday goes out of the state to American businesswoman and politician, co-founder Wells Fargo and American Express, Mr. William Fargo. He was born in the state in 1818.
And born May 20th, 1851. German-American inventor invented the gramophone record.
We're getting into topic of Trek territory now.
Gramophone record. Emil Berliner.
Berliner. His name as
Berliner.
His name
Berliner.
What was his middle name? Grammy?
Yes, that's right.
German chemistrist. Zymologist. Whatever that is. And academic Nobel Prize laureate Edward Buchner was born on this date in 1860.
And born 1879, German chemist Hans Mirwin.
Mirwein.
Oh, excuse me. Whatever.
We got to work on my pronunciations as well. English engineer designed the Supermarine Spitfire and Supermarine S6B. Mr. R.J. Mitchell, born on this date in 1895.
And James Stewart, the American actor, was born 112 years ago today.
Yes, that James Stewart. That's the one. Yes. You know, the one from It's a Wonderful something. I can't remember. What was the name, Clarence?
I just move right along.
May 20th, 1925, Russian engineer. There's a bad omen when you hear Russian engineer in this work.
I'm gonna sit back and watch you sweat on this.
He designed the Tupolev Tu-144, Mr. Alexei Tupolev. Ha ha.
There you go.
The song's running out. We have really dragged on this one, but let her go.
This is a tough one right here. Joe Cocker.
Not feeling English... too good myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
You climbed through the bathroom window. What would I do if I threw up on you? Yeah.
Anyway.
English singer-songwriter was born on the same date in 1944. Yes, Joe Cocker.
Not known for our impressions either. Also born on the same date in 1946, American singer-songwriter, producer, and actor, Cher. No. Not doing Cher.
I'm waiting on that one. Also turning 71 today is Canadian actor, director, producer, and screenwriter, Dave Thomas.
Not the hamburger guy.
I was going to say, the hamburger, also known for his hamburger.
No, the SCTV / Bob and Doug McKenzie guy.
Yes, yes.
American colonel, engineer, and astronaut Thomas Akers is 69 today. We also have some listener birthdays for May 20th through 26th. Congratulations to Tim Elliott on the 22nd. 23rd is Chris Zeal, host and producer of the Avcast, and 24 Under Review. If those are still around, I don't know. They weren't in Podcasting for Dummies this time around, but we can work that in. And good old listener Eli is on the 26th. Eli Euclazone. So happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday, got to keep the video engineer on, keeping the video engineer on her toes. Go over to the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki, and get your birthday out there. If it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, we wish you all the best, and we will get you a shout-out. There are people adding their birthdays. Craig redesigned this thing, made it real easy, and I can actually see who's on the calendar and who's been added since we implemented this. Quite a few, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had some people out there. Actually, hey, by the way, if you've been on the birthday calendar, you don't necessarily have to re-add yourself. There was a couple of people that did add themselves again.
Okay.
But just throwing that out there that I did copy everything over.
Like all good computer science people, we brought the legacy data with us.
Yeah, and I also was a good data person and didn't delete the old stuff, so it's still there just in case.
If you want to go over to, wetpaint.com?
Yeah, it was a wiki service. Yeah, it's like wetpaint.
Alrighty. We did the history. It's time for the good news.
News and weather, everyone.
Well, it's kind of news and sort of weather. The Japanese spacecraft has sent back images. Yes, Hayabusa 2 has touched down and sent us images of Ryugu. Why does that always make me want to eat Italian? Not Ragu.
Okay. I was thinking Ragu. Hey, by the way, Ragu is not Italian.
I know. That's like saying Taco Bell is Mexican.
Very American. Yeah.
So February 21st, 2019, the Japanese space agency's Hayabusa 2 spacecraft touched down on the surface of asteroid Ryugu, the orbit of which brings it between Earth and Mars, granting researchers a close-up link at objects' rocky surface. The images released in a paper published in the Journal of Science come as a precursor to the samples that will be returned to the research team in December 2020. Put it on your calendar. That's only a few months away.
Yeah.
The detailed observations promise to help astronomers better understand both the age and geological history of the body and grant insights into the material that formed the planets. Additionally, the collaboration of dust grains disturbed by the landing hints at periods of rapid heating by the sun during the orbital sweep that brought it close to our star. The discovery also has implications for the orbits of other asteroids in the solar system. This reminds me, if you have Amazon Video, or Prime Video it's called, but you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There is a wonderful series called The Planets. 5 series. I know there's more planets than that, but they kind of skip over the rocky ones real fast.
They combine a couple of them.
They did.
Together in one episode.
But I think the one that I thought was most amazing was Jupiter, when they talk about the migration that's in the current theory of how it came into the inner solar system and then moved back out, because we've come up with that theory based on observing other solar systems. We're going, how come there aren't any solar systems that we've seen with extrasolar planets like ours that have a few rocky ones in the beginning, and then they go to the big gas giants, and then they have some ice worlds on the outside? What's up with that? Well, Jupiter. Jupiter had a lot to do with, and we got really lucky because it just decided to stop short of our neighborhood. It was the reason Mars is so much smaller than Venus and Earth is because Jupiter pretty much came in from its orbit and sucked up all the material that would have made Mars bigger. That's the long and short of the story, but that was a bit of a spoiler alert. But if you weren't around, 5 billion years ago, you would have missed it.
Yeah.
So,
hey, by the way,
yes.
But this article has a little video with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the video, I'm sure it's a series of images that they stitched together, but the little video is short, and you can watch the Hayabusa 2 go down and basically touch the surface and back, and it kicks up all the debris, all the rocks. It is pretty awesome to see, and in the context that this is not Earth, this is something, this is another planet, and it's pretty awesome to, or planetoid, or I guess asteroid, but it's pretty awesome to watch and see it kick up and realize that this is all happening outside of our atmosphere.
Well, that was kind of the fun we had when we sent out Rosetta to the duck-shaped comet and landed Philae down there, kind of in the wrong place, but it went down and it bounced. Like, wow, there's so little gravity out there. So little gravity.
Oh yeah, it's like as soon as it hit, you can see stuff going.
Yeah,
and you could see some of it kind of making its way down, but it wasn't like bonk, bonk, bonk. It wasn't bouncing or nothing. It was like kind of hanging out. So that's how they're getting their samples. We're hitting the surface.
They knock into it. And, oops, sorry.
Yeah, they hit it.
Oops, sorry.
They were hitting it and kicking up stuff, and they were going to catch it. So.
All right, we have another news
story.
By the way,
I just wanted to say, Amy Bowen says she was referring to the Homestead National Homestead Act that we were talking about a minute ago. Mm-hmm. She says she was at the Homestead National Monument in southeastern Nebraska, and it tells the story of the Homestead Act.
Says
it's a neat museum, and she was there last July. So.
And hello to Kathy Spurgeon Luke, longtime listener. We remember you from long ago. Thank you for tuning in again. You can see we've sort of upgraded since 2008, 2007, whatever
it was.
Have we? Yes. Mm, I went back and watched one of our videos from 2011. Where, wow. Okay. we got some work to do. We still have some work to do.
Well, it's funny. You go back even because I was moving all of our website stuff to another server. I went and listened to the Topic is Trek episode 1.
Just
for a moment.
Oh,
and I was like, even our audio changed since then.
The first five years or so was rough, just getting the timing down. And
well, it wasn't that. It was just the audio quality. The audio changed a little bit.
I thought we were always using Skype. Were we not? And recording on this end?
Yeah, it's probably Skype. Whatever. Go listen to it. You'll know.
We were
analyze the waveform and you'll figure out where it's coming from.
We were encoding it with vacuum tubes.
Yeah.
All right. Next article for you, Mr. Computer hacker guy.
Yeah, and this is kind of scary. I always think the supercomputers that you see in the buildings and everything are behind a glass wall are kind of safe, but no, they're not.
It's for social distancing.
That's right. So apparently multiple supercomputers across Europe have been affected this week, I guess last week, with cryptocurrency mining malware, and have shut down to investigate the intrusions. Because, they don't hook these things up to the internet, right?
Right. No server farm is hooked up to the internet. It's a known fact.
Security incidents have been reported in the UK, Germany, and Switzerland, while a similar intrusion is rumored to have also happened at the High Performance Computing Center in Spain. First reported of an attack came to light on Monday from the University of Edinburgh, which runs the Archer supercomputer. The organization reported security exploitation on Archer login nodes. That's a supercomputer error, by the way. It shut down the Archer system to investigate and reset the SSH passwords to prevent further intrusions.
Archer, not yeah. Archie.
I didn't say Archie.
I know.
Archer. I know. Yeah, okay.
And you got Edinburgh right. Good job.
Yeah, I did. Edinburgh. The BWHPC, the organization that coordinates research projects across supercomputers in the state of Baden-Württemberg. Wittenberg,
we'll work Germany. On that.
Yeah, whatever. Was also announced on Monday that five of its high-performance computing clusters had to be shut down due to similar security concerns. This included the Hawk supercomputer at the High Performance Computing Center in
Stuttgart.
The BW UniCluster 2.0 and the 4HLR 2 clusters. These are all computers I'm not very familiar with, obviously. Anyway, I won't go through all those. But anyway, I just thought it was funny that I never thought about these computers would need, I guess, what operating systems do they run? I guess Linux.
Somebody had to know something very specific. Obviously, these are supercomputers, and they went, wow, you know, my NVIDIA cards just aren't cutting it anymore for mining Bitcoins. So yeah. Let's go hack somebody's supercomputer, and I'll get some real CPU power out of this.
Well, skipping down below, attackers gained access via compromised SSH logins. So none of the organizations above published any details about the intrusions, obviously. However, earlier in the day, the Computer Security Incident Response Team, ISRT, for the European grid infrastructure. There's a lot of names in here. You know, malware samples, all this kind of stuff. Basically, they got in through some SSH logins.
The credentials appear to have been stolen from university members given access to the supercomputers to run computing jobs. The hijacked SSH logins belong to the universities in Canada, China, and Poland. Someone's sharing their passwords. Good job.
Or had crappy passwords to begin with. So I guess these machines run Unix, Linux, probably Linux.
The login is Pi. The password is Raspberry.
Pi Raspberry.
That would be a funny thing to put on a supercomputer.
I never thought about these supercomputers getting hacked. I always thought they were kind of kept sort to their own. They're
isolation.
You know, doing their supercomputer thing, whatever that is.
Well, everything's getting more connected, which leads us into our next story, which I'm going to make just a touch bigger on the font size so my old eyes can read it. Facebook has announced plans to build a massive 37,000-kilometer undersea cable around Africa in an effort to increase the continent's internet connectivity, as detailed in a blog post by the company this week. The company will begin, quote, it will be, quote, nearly equal to the circumference of the Earth, unquote, according to Facebook, and will interconnect 23 countries across Africa and the Middle East and Europe once complete.
Wow.
That is a lot of connectivity. Africa currently has approximately 1.3 billion residents, yet it is one of the least connected regions in the world, as the tech giant notes. We are committed to bringing more people online to a faster internet, and with 3.5 billion people globally unconnected, there is still a lot to do, said Facebook. The company has partnered with various global networking providers for the project, which is dubbed 2Africa, with a number, 2Africa, including China Mobile, MTM of South Africa, France's Orange, and Britain's Vodafone. Alcatel Submarine Networks and Nokia entity have been recruited to construct the actual cable, which will be designed so that it can be buried 3 meters deeper than average in order to help prevent damage. They got to bury this poor thing, too. You can't just go lay the cable down.
It's like, why is Facebook putting cables out there?
So they can own the internet.
Well, they can own part of it, I guess.
Charge for it.
I know telecoms, you know, have their own cables and stuff like that, but it's just like kind of weird.
This might be a philanthropic thing. I mean, getting more people
to get people online. So there's more users using Facebook eventually.
Potentially. But who's to say Facebook is going to be a thing in 10 years? Huh?
I don't know. I mean, well, I always thought it was weird that they bought the, was it Oculus? The VR goggles.
They're trying to diversify.
Other companies. I'm like, they're a freaking website.
That's like saying Amazon's a bookstore now. Or Microsoft is a desktop software company.
I guess so.
It's not.
I don't know.
It's not. Yeah. The companies have to diversify and reinvent themselves to survive. You and I should know that very well based on where we are in our
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. I just don't see. I guess they got money so they can invest in stuff. So
and I'm happy they're investing it this way rather than in some Mars colony.
No. Yeah. Let's go to Mars. No, I think this is fine. I think there's a lot of place. You know, the more connected the world is, I think fighting stuff like COVID-19 or whatever, I think it makes it much easier. Because what was that? I was just watching, what was it? The YouTube guy. Anyway, he's talking about how when they sequence the genome of viruses like COVID-19, mm-hmm. and as soon as they publish it online, companies can take that and essentially craft a vaccine within hours for it, which is amazing. Of course, there's a lot of testing and stuff that pushes it far out for safety, but I thought that was amazing. And a tool like the internet just blows my mind that, you know, before you'd have to wait for a sample to be mailed or, you know, all that data to be sent somewhere and disseminated. Now it's like, you know, oh, got a few hours and we're done and post this online and everything's good to go. It's kind of amazing.
It is amazing. We live in an amazing time.
We live in. And I can't get my, and I can't get my Zoom to work properly sometimes.
Wow. There's a lot of variables in this amazing technology.
It is.
And speaking of amazing times, let's do the Hex and Strange Stories. So, you want to take this one?
We're going to skip over the break? That's fine.
Yeah, skip over the break. We're running a little late.
All right.
Your story.
Oh, it is me. Anyway, I saw this. I thought it was pretty cool. This $100 drivable cardboard Ferrari from Vietnam is winning the internet, apparently. This is from a few weeks ago, but I thought it was still kind of funny.
This is interesting. Straight up Technorama material. Cardboard Ferrari. It is.
Yeah. Anything cardboard. So supercomputers are supercars are expensive, but who said you can't make one in your own home garage? While we have previously seen home projects churn out 3D printing machines, but this cardboard replica of a Ferrari FXX K Evo, not the Evo we know, Evo, is what's trending on the internet these days. This DIY Ferrari has been made by a group of three friends from Vietnam, with the total costing of this project to be around $100.
I find that hard to believe.
Do you now?
Based on what I saw from the video, because somehow they showed the guy revving it up from his phone. And clearly, if you look at this thing, it is the most unsafe vehicle I've ever seen. Obviously, the cardboard body is nothing. I'm going to say,
come on, man. It's made out of cardboard.
It's got bicycle wheels on it to keep the weight down and to make the propulsion easy. I don't know what this has for an engine, but it does not have a Ferrari engine, but it sounds like it. So clearly, that's coming through some sort of speaker system, which I figure is what he was revving on the phone.
That's probably what he was doing with his phone. He was casting the audio to it.
So... did he pick up a pair of cheap speakers? Because it sounds really good. I think most of the cost of that $100 was probably in a $75 subwoofer.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a steering wheel. It's more like handlebars. It's really funny.
It's funny watching it go down the street because it looks like it's been, well, obviously it's cardboard, but it literally looks like it's been duct taped together.
Pretty much.
Holding it. Yeah.
And it's not going very fast because it'll fly apart if it does.
Yeah.
Anyway, salute you, cool. Go watch the video, people.
It's all right.
Yeah, we salute you, $100 drivable cardboard hack Ferrari. Yeah.
He probably had a Bluetooth speaker in there and was casting from his phone,
right?
Audio.
It was an impressive sound, but it didn't go with the vehicle you were looking at. Going,
hey, Jeffrey Byers says, I hope the engine doesn't get too hot.
Burst into flames.
Yeah.
Calling this a Ferrari is kind of like the potato Jesus picture. It just, close, but not quite.
I like the part where the guy's trying to get back in and he can't open the door because the bungee cord's holding it down.
Hey, I used to have a car like that.
Yeah. I've had cars like that. Yes. That's kind of funny.
Don't laugh. At one point, a cardboard car may have been an upgrade.
I can laugh because I've been there.
I searched for this picture because I couldn't get the one off of the website. And if you just search for cardboard Ferrari, you will get a whole bunch of really interesting pictures. Most of the time, it's people putting cardboard over a regular car to make their regular car look like a Ferrari. One guy was even wearing like a cardboard Ferrari costume. Like he was cosplaying a cardboard Ferrari. It's really fun putting this show together sometimes. A little sneak peek of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's the... did you have a picture of one right now?
I did not have one available.
One guy's holding what's the body of the Ferrari, which is really all cardboard, putting it over his smart car.
Yeah, it was like dressing up his car to look like a Ferrari. And some of these look like the cardboard comic book heroes that you see, you know, all boxy. It didn't even have any body lines to speak of.
That's just
terrible. All right, quick shout out to the chat room. We have some people watching on Facebook. Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time. Yes, we do. We have...
Let's see.
Who do we see? Obviously, John Miller Jr.
Go ahead and read your list. I'll see if
we gave John Miller Jr. a shout out before the show actually started. Amy Bowen, thank you very much. Yep. Kathy Spurgeon Luke, who we mentioned, thank you for watching. My cousin Jeff Byers, thank you, thank you. And that's all I see.
Elton Chapman, Michael King, Craig Glassner is in here.
Hey,
your wife, Donna Tomasi.
He's my friend. You see my wife?
Yeah, she's in there.
Oh, she's like right behind this big monitor.
Don Duffy.
Here. Facebook, you amaze and confuse us.
Yeah, I know.
That's why we have to.
They're keeping us on our toes so we don't pay attention to that big cable they're putting in the ocean.
Maybe the cable will let us see all the people that are on our chat.
Right.
You lacking bandwidth there? Thank you very much. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, go to Technorama Podcast and like the page. You'll get alerted when we put this thing on 9:30 Eastern time on Sunday nights. We're here. We love doing it.
We're here.
And
we're doing it right now.
That's what we are doing. We are doing that. Let's do the happy-go-lucky song. Happy-go-lively, sorry. Because it's time for six technologies that have always been just 2 years away.
Always.
For the
always
last
2 years
50
away.
Years. Yeah. It's almost here, guys. Flying cars, jetpacks, hoverboards, or so we've been promised. It seems these technologies are always just 2 years away. At least that's what the media keeps telling us. Today, we're looking at promises for the near future that haven't quite arrived yet. We wanted so desperately to believe that they're just over the horizon, but we really wish that the horizon would stop moving on us. So number one, of course, is flying cars. About every 6 months or so, you get told your flying car is almost here. Number two is hoverboards. Yes, we're living in 2015, the year Marty and Doc traveled. We're living in 2015. When was this written?
I don't know. It's been
January
a while.
January 2nd of some year.
It's not a current article.
Really struggling to find non-COVID-related material.
Hey, but in 2 years, all this is going to be true.
If you slept through 2017, you missed it. It's like when you go through a little town on the two-lane road. You blink twice and you missed it. Yeah, we didn't get our hoverboards in 2015. Still waiting in 2020. Spoiler alert. Robot butlers. Remember those things? Even that cheesy one on Rocky 3? Mm-hmm.
No.
Rocky 4. Excuse me. Rocky 4.
Yeah.
With the big head.
I forgot about that. You're right. Yes.
The jetpack is one of those technologies that, much like the flying car, we've seen since mid-century. I think there was even one on Gilligan's Island. Or a fake one. Virtual reality. There's no technology that ebbs and flows quite like VR. Unlike the flying car.
I disagree.
Well, if this 3D. Was written in 2015.
3D movies.
if this was written in 2015, we do have some augmented reality.
No, I was going to say technology that ebbs and flows. 3D movies. It always comes up.
Oh,
and then it kind of fades away.
Yeah. Well, that one's not so much we're still waiting for it. We've seen it and seen it and seen it.
But it's gone. I mean, rarely do you see 3D movies now. About 3 or 4 years ago, it was a different story.
Right. I think you even bought a 3D TV.
I did. Well, yes, I did, but not for the 3D. But yes, actually, I was sitting there thinking the other day, I should throw by I got like 2 3D movies. I got,
or is it 3 2D Tron movies?
No, I got Tron Legacy and Pacific Rim. I think that was the other 3D movie.
Nice.
I may have to pull them out and watch them. Yeah.
All right. The final one in our countdown is driverless cars. This was written 5 years ago, and we are still waiting for driverless cars. They're close. There's various levels of autonomous cars. I own one that's a level one autonomous car, but I'm not taking my hands off the steering wheel for more than about 10 seconds. So Johnny Cab is coming. Oh, speaking of Johnny Cab.
Yes.
Donna asked me this trivia question the other night, and I don't know what made me think of this, but when you think of the voice of Johnny Cab, who do you think of? Thank you for writing Johnny Cab.
No, I know who it is.
I never thought about it until I went, you know, that sounds just like.
It is.
You know.
Hold on. I know who it is.
He was on the Star Trek cruise.
Huh?
He was on the Star Trek cruise.
Yes, I know. It's I can't recall it.
Not Ethan Phillips.
What? It's Ethan Phillips.
Not Ethan Peck. Not Ethan Phillips.
No, it's the doctor.
Not Jerry Ryan.
No, not Jerry Ryan.
Doctor, what's his name?
Bob.
I'm just doing this to Bob. Yes, Robert Picardo does the voice of Robert, Johnny
Cab. Oh my God, I was trying to. Yes, I don't know why I can't recall his name. Yes, of course I knew who
squirm.
It was. Yeah, well, it looks like him.
If we did that on the topic of Trek, he'd be off the show.
It almost looks like him. To be honest,
it does. Well, back in the 80s, it probably did look like him. Yeah. It probably was him. Right. Thank you for running Johnny Cab. Thank you.
I don't know why I couldn't remember him. Pull out a name in my head.
Well, caught you out of context there.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of context, we want to thank our patrons because these people are awesome. They are what's helping us do this migration from the old servers that we've been using for 15 years over to the new servers. Thank you. Your donations greatly help. And we have a new patron who gets the privilege of being named last.
Yes. First in, first out.
Nah, these are alphabetic and you'll get in the alphabetical order. You know what? I think by sheer luck, it is in alphabetical order. Wow.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not quite. Not quite. Okay. Should be about four positions before the end. Okay, let's get on with this. Thank you, Alexis Duran. Thank you, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman. All of you are wonderful people for your donations, for your time. And as a result, you get the extra content, as does Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man, your postcard has been sent. I apologize. He had a comment in our Technorama page that I didn't see for a month. But now it's on its way. So his postcard's on its way. He said, you asked me for my postal address. I went, oh, shoot. I was doing some work on Friday and went, dang. Danny Mortensen, thank you very much. Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry, John Clifford, John Noble, Jorgis Rowan, Christina, thank you, everybody. Kyle Nishioka, one of our long, loyal listeners. Leon, Mark Kilfoyle.
Wait, that Leon
that we see every Dragon Con, and it's probably at high risk that we don't see him this year.
I know, right? Yeah.
Mike Wills, Night Gig Studios, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Wetchy, Steve Therian, and our latest, I wish I had a drum roll. I have a rim shot, but I don't have a drum roll. Drum roll for our newest Patreon member, Spiffy. Thank you very much, Spiffy. I love the name. That's awesome.
Yes.
You will be included. You can, for as little as a dollar a show, you can be enshrined, get your thanks, and get special content. Now Spiffy gets to find out what all this content is that he or she has been missing. We don't even know what gender Spiffy is. It's just a cool
next
name.
Week, Spiffy will be out of here once they find out.
I'm paying for this crap.
Yeah. I pay for this.
Thank you. You help pay the bills. You help with the software upgrades and equipment. We have headphones that are falling apart on this end that are going to need replacing soon. Once we are able to
get
in studio guests again.
Yeah. Think of the children.
Think of the children wearing the headphones. Go over to our Patreon page if you are interested in supporting this show. It's only a buck. It's really cool. It's a buck a show. What can you do about that? Patreon.com/TechnoramaPodcast. If you're watching the video, there it is right on the bottom of the screen. And if you are listening, let me say it again. Patreon.com/TechnoramaPodcast. Did you get it? Good.
Yeah.
Because we are almost out of music. I don't think we've burned that song very often. You get to hear this. Done.
There you go.
Awesome ending. Okay. On to pass the remote. Craig's got to pass me the remote. I knew this one was coming up sooner or later, so I think it's called Hand Me the Remote, but we'll work on that.
Oh, there you go.
We may even change it to right Shut now. Up and Hand Me the Remote.
Hand Me the Remote.
Hang Me the Remote. We got to work on the typing skills, too.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm reaching around my microphone. It's hard. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just recently finished Silicon Valley. I don't know if...
How many seasons is it?
There were six.
Okay.
So let me pull up the cast here. So the cast was originally had TJ Miller in it, and he kind of left after a little while. Amanda Crew, Kamal Nanjiani, Thomas Middleditch, excuse me, and Zach Woods. And there's more. Martin Starr and... a whole list of people that's been on the show.
Where can one find the show?
What's that?
Where can one find the show?
It's on HBO.
Okay.
So it was on Amazon Prime for a little while. That's where I finished the last season.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire, I watched it. It's not so much a factual tech show, but it's funny because it's a caricature really of what goes on in Silicon Valley. It's a Mike Judge film, so if you our show. So if you're familiar with Mike Judge, King of the Hill, Idiocracy, Office Space, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is his kind of humor, and it's fantastic. It's like sarcastic to a point, kind of humor, and like I said, a caricature of the way things are.
Overall rating out of 10, what would you give it?
Out of 10, I'll give it an 8.5 solid.
Really?
There's some episodes were, not so great. Some were funny as everything. And I think the last season, it started to peter out a little bit, but so it was good to end it where it did, but it was a lot of fun. It wasn't like IT Crowd kind of fun. It's different, but it's satirical, from the way Silicon Valley is or where you think it is, or maybe exactly what you think it is. But it's well worth it to go check it out.
All right, dear listener/viewer, if you agree or disagree, let us know. Get in touch with us. You can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428, or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com, or leave a comment. We'll be posting this Tuesday night-ish, Wednesday. We'll have this podcast uploaded to the website. And you actually, you know what? Right now, while you're doing it live, you could comment, or anytime if you're watching the video.
Yeah,
the
we're
video,
waiting. We'll wait here. Live. We'll just wait.
Do you think it's an 8.5 if you've seen it? If not, let us know why or why not. And we have one more thing in the media corner. We have a media corner. Oh, we got a lot of stuff tonight.
Yeah, and this is really just a mention, because it's a video. But this is,
hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt myself.
Yeah. So, I didn't mean to interrupt myself.
We talked about the conference earlier, and when they kicked it off, my boss sends in the chat, because we're watching these videos, kind of like YouTube style, and there's a chat off to the right, and he says, okay, everybody, get your selfies with Chuck. because that's one of the things they do in real life when we're at a conference is people stop me and get a selfie. So I took a selfie with myself. And I posted that. I got my back to the screen. And so you see me in the background. And I posted it to social media and said, it's the first time I got a selfie with myself. And somebody said, what's it called if you take a selfie and you're not in the picture? How can you not be in a selfie with yourself? What would it be then?
Right. So, yeah. What? A lonely? I don't know.
So Weber Baker sent us this video, and I think Donna showed this to me before I even saw this note. It's been going around the internet. There is a classically trained soprano who does her warm-up with the original Star Trek theme. You know, the vocal singing. No. Yeah, that. I guess I am a soprano now.
Yeah.
If I can hit that one.
Well.
Karaoke Saturday night, kids. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll say wait till next week. I can see where this is going.
No, I can't. I don't think I could strike the end of that. And she really was solid on those notes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go check out the video. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's not very long.
It is. Very short thing. All right. Our question of the week. We are at the end, which is fine because we're at 50 minutes. We are at the end. Our question of the week is, what's one question you hate being asked? And this one doesn't count.
Yeah, that's right. This one doesn't count. I'll put that in parentheses.
What's one question you hate be asked? Okay, do you have one off the top of your head, Craig?
Yeah, well, it's more, instead of a question so much, it's more like when people say, hey, I have a quick question. I hate that phrase. You know, when they're leading into a question. I'm like,
hang on.
Nobody has a quick question.
Let me get some popcorn.
What's that?
Let me get some popcorn because they're going to be here a while.
Yeah, we're going to be here for a while. That or... Yeah, there's several of them, but no, one of those questions like, do you have some free time?
Or, you know, can I have 20 minutes of your time? That was when my dad always used to ask when he needed the basement cleaned or the house painted or something. I was like, Dad, you have this warped sense of time.
Well, it's kind of funny people ask that. And of course, my calendar is up to date. I would hope that most people are at work. And they go, hey, do you have some free time to look at this?
Yes, put it on my calendar. My calendar is at your disposal. I'd be happy to help if you can find a block of time. Next week works really well. Yeah. It's like, just schedule something. I understand the politeness about kind of leading you into this. It's better. Oh, and then even better is they send you an appointment. Has like no description, no objective, no agenda.
Oh, yeah. It's like just a link to the Zoom.
Right. Like, and I'm supposed to remember that next week. Whatever. All right. You're supposed to infer it from the discussion that says, knowledge meeting.
Yeah, right. Hey, by the way, Kathy Spurgeon Luke says, will you do something for me? That's a.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Mine,
John Miller Jr.
One that used to drive me nuts, but it doesn't anymore because I found a good answer for it, is when your boss or somebody would say, where do you see your career in 5 years? They used to drive me nuts because in a tech career,
hopefully here,
so many things change. I mean, I understand they're trying to assess which direction do you want to grow so they can help you get there. But it's so many times I'd say, the position I'm in didn't exist 6 months before I got here. And that's happened over and over. So I can't tell you what I want to do, but
the right answer is to make one up.
I want your job, boss.
Yeah, that's right. Whoa, whoa.
That is clearly the wrong answer.
Okay. That's right.
So my answer for that now is I want to do something that's helpful. I want to do something I enjoy. I want to do something that's challenging. I see myself growing, and I want to do just general answers around that, much like what I'm doing today, but I'd like to take it in this direction. Another one that's come up that I thought was intriguing is, what is your ideal job? If you could do anything in the world, what would you want to do?
Nothing.
Nothing is your ideal job?
Yeah,
and
did you not watch
$1 million a week for it.
And you see, remember Office Space? I did nothing. All weekend, or I did nothing, and it was everything I thought it would be.
All right, since you brought up Office Space, I've been watching a lot of TNG. I know this probably should have gone on the topic of Trek, And I mentioned it in our Topic is Trek chat, but I forgot to mention it on the show. So for those of you who are not Star Trek inclined, I apologize. But there is an episode, a two-parter called Reunification, where Spock is trying to get the Vulcans and the Romulans together and have a happy time. Well, Picard and Data are shuttled into Romulan space aboard a Klingon freighter. The captain is Captain Kavada, K-apostrophe-V-A-D-A. And like, wow, this guy sounds really familiar. He almost sounded like Ethan Phillips, but he clearly didn't have the face of Ethan Phillips, who plays Neelix on Voyager. You're probably more familiar with that. He has played other roles on other shows. I looked this up. Captain Kavada, the Klingon Captain Kavada, is the guy who plays Milton on Office Space.
Oh, right.
And I just
Stephen Root.
Yeah. And all I could think of was, I was told I could play my Klingon opera at an acceptable level. And an acceptable volume.
Yeah. I was told I could bring my bat that's on the bridge.
Someone took my red twing line batlet.
He is a talented guy. He's played a lot of good character interesting characters over the years. He was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He was the blind guy in the radio station.
Definitely not typecast. That's a good thing.
Oh no, he mixes it up. He's good at it.
I'd love to see him on the Star Trek cruise.
I didn't know he was. You see, he played a Romulan.
He played a Klingon.
A Klingon. Oh, that's what I said. Yeah,
And he was very like jovial too. I mean, he was like, wow.
I might have to go check that out because maybe I didn't pay attention to that the first time.
Huh. I'm finding as I go and rewatch all these shows, I am going to IMDb at least a half a dozen times in every episode. So I'm tracing down, why is this person familiar? Where have they played before? Who have I seen? Well, and connect those dots because IMDb has just been fantastic. I wish we had it when we were watching this 30 years ago.
I know. Well, you know, if you watch some of that stuff through Amazon.
Yes, Amazon has the X-ray feature and they would tell you
is awesome.
Some of that. It's not complete as looking through like the whole actor's listing of everything.
Well, they will highlight the faces and you can kind of see.
They do like two or three, you know, also known for, but I don't know. Going to IMDb is a whole lot more comprehensive for me.
Well, what else is interesting about Amazon Prime, and I know I'm not telling everybody something brand new, but what's really cool is if you pause it, sometimes they'll have trivia and you know things like that from this because Amazon owns IMDb, so all that stuff is pulled from there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
If you go to, I think it says IMDb by Amazon, doesn't it? IMDb.com.
Oh, well, that would explain why they have a lot of Amazon videos at the top.
Yeah.
Alrighty, that brings us to the end. That's our question of the week. What's one question you hate being asked? We want to find out. And let's play the out theme. Thank you for joining us. Yes.
Wait, look right there. If you're a Patreon, you're going to hear us talk about what is the legacy that you are leaving behind.
Craig and I are going to talk about that next. Okay. I wasn't sure if you put that in and we were supposed to ask that or not, but
yes, we're going to let everybody know. Hey, if you want to listen in,
that's what you're missing.
Subscribe.
And the Patreon show is not as polished as this. There's no like production value. I think we play an intro and an outro.
Yeah. This is the gold standard right here.
It's an open discussion. Yes. The entire Podcasting for Dummies book is written for this format. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Right.
If you're not doing it our way, you suck. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Thank you for joining us on Technorama. You can reach us again on the listener line, 707-530-2428, right there at the bottom of the screen. See right there? Thank you very much, Donna, for being our video engineer, switching cameras, getting those images up during the show. We appreciate that very much. And thank you, listener/viewer, for tuning in, downloading, subscribing, whatever it is you do. We appreciate it very much. And you can find all our good information over at chuckchat.com/technorama, which is now on the new servers. Thank you very much, Craig, for taking care of a lot of that.
You're welcome.
And until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, because that's what friends do. Even if you're socially isolated, you can still chat about that. And give us a binary high five, Craig.
All right, 101. Thanks, everybody.
Don't put on the red shirt. Oh, wrong
show. That's the other show.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Go listen to that one, too.